Good morning. Everybody hear me? All right. As Brother Harold mentioned, my exhortation this morning is on the sixth commandment of Christ, or the beginning of it, labor not to be rich. We'll begin our refresher on this subject in 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, having pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And also verses 17 and 18. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And turning back to verses 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. The desire and lust for riches has been the reason why many empires have risen and fallen over the years. Many soldiers have died for the greed of their leaders, and finances are one of the main problems, or the main reasons that cause problems within marriages throughout the whole world. The love of money is the root of all evil, because greed is what motivates people to lie, steal, cheat, gamble, and even murder, along with many other things. People who have a love for money lack the godliness with contentment that is true gain in God's eyes, because it is impossible to serve God and mammon, as Jesus informs us in Matthew 6, verse 24. Let's look now at Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Wealth in this life is not lasting. It can easily be taken away from us just as easily as it was given to us. We can think that we have struggled to gain everything we have in this life and that we deserve our retirement or unemployment benefits or even our house. But everything is a blessing from God, which none of us deserve by any means. Labor in verse 4 means to gasp, to be exhausted, and to toil. This is an exhaustive work being done, not to the glory of God, but to increase the pleasures this individual has in this vain life. The individual is therefore not fulfilling his duty that is spoken of in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this completes mankind. Ecclesiastes is an excellent book to read in regards to the riches of this life. Let's turn there and read a few passages. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes 1, verses 2 through 4. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. All is vanity in this life if we labor for anything other than the truth and glorification of Him which called us out of darkness unto His marvelous light, because it wastes our time to do anything else. It does not complete us. Instead, how we should feel in regards to the things of this life is pointed out in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that should be after me. And skipping down to verse 22, for what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. We should hate the labor and the amount of work, the amount we must work, in order to obtain wealth in this life, and alternatively, make our souls enjoy the good of our labor, as verse 24 says, instead of not having time to enjoy the blessings of this life. Or, as 1 Timothy 6 said, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. I feel like there is only so much that can be said about striving for riches or money in this life. It seems obvious, but I know a lot of people that still strive for riches. Not to be rich, just to have money, just to have it. As we read in Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. The more we strive for money, the less we will have, just as the children of Israel in Haggai's time worked to please themselves and always wound up with less than they started with, because they did not work to build the house of their God first and afterwards build their own houses and lives. I'll read from Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Now therefore, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith Yahweh. When Yahweh is glorified by our lives, that is when our labor will not be in vain, because we will be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the necessary things of life will be given unto us. We will be content and enjoy the fruits which our hands have worked to produce and which we have been blessed with from Yahweh, no matter how much or little we actually receive from him. James 2 verse 5 tells us, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? The answer is yes. He has chosen the poor of this world because they are more inclined to trust in Yahweh to provide for them. Going to take this in a slightly different direction now. The statement of faith says, labor not to be rich. And we instantly think of money. But are there any other things we can labor to be rich in that are not becoming for a servant of the Most High God? What about the wisdom of this world? We've already read it twice, but Proverbs 23, verse 4, makes the connection between riches and wisdom. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Our own wisdom is the wisdom that comes natural to us as humans and is said to be foolishness with God in 1 Corinthians 3:19. This wisdom is expounded upon in James 3, verses 14 through 16. But if ye have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. If we revel in the wisdom that comes natural to us, we cannot grow in the wisdom that is from above and put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, as Ephesians 4:22 informs us. We must seek that wisdom, seek for that wisdom from above, which is first pure. If it is not pure before anything else, then we have not fully obtained and understood the wisdom from above. We have apostatized it by mixing it with our own wisdom, the wisdom that comes natural to us, and it becomes necessary that we ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, if we ask in faith, as James 1, 5 and 6 tells us. Or, as Ecclesiastes 2, 26 says, For God giveth to the man, to a man, that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Let's turn and read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 19 and 20. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And skipping down to verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. If not many wise men are called, then we shouldn't seek out the wisdom of this world after we have been called. But the push from society around us and even in Christ's body now is that we need to go and be educated by the world. God doesn't want his wisdom mixed with the wisdom of this world, because the wisdom of this world will be destroyed, as we read in verse 19. And we can also read of in Isaiah 29, verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, verses 14 through 19. And unto the angel of the ecclesia of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. We all know and say that the things written here are speaking not just to the individual ecclesia, this individual ecclesia, but also to the body of Christ at our time. Unfortunately, I feel that we forget or maybe don't recognize, though, when these things apply to us or our ecclesia at times. It says that our works are known, but they appear to be useless works, neither cold nor hot. There is no visible effect from the work being done that strengthens or edifies anyone. Also, by our fruits are we known, it says in Matthew. Therefore, when it says, because thou sayest, it doesn't mean anyone is actually saying, I have need of nothing. What it means is that by our works we are expressing that we have need of nothing and are rich in this life, whether in wisdom or money or otherwise. This obviously can apply to both kinds of riches we spoke of this morning, mammon and the wisdom of this world. It is necessary for us to realize what shape we are in as individuals before God, and also collectively as families, ecclesias, and the body as a whole. We need to examine ourselves and strive after gold tried in the fire, which is tried faith, where true riches lie. White raiment, which is the righteousness of the saints, and anoint our eyes with eye salve so we can be discerning and see clearly. Jeremiah 9:23-24 tells us, "Thus saith Yahweh, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am Yahweh, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith Yahweh." Finally, let us read from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great that darkness is." How great is that darkness? "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" I think he makes this connection here between God and mammon, and therefore no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, drink, or wear. Because when you try and put your trust in making that money and the riches of this life, you think that you can provide these things for yourself. And it's not possible. We cannot provide these things for ourselves. "Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Verse 26. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." I've got just a couple minutes. That was the end of my exhortation, but going back to where I started with the push from society around us and the body to go to school to learn from the wisdom of this world, the reason that people say that is to get a better job, to earn more money. Now, we've already learned about two brothers in Christ the last four evenings, One of them had a degree which he did not use by the end of his life. He went into farming. The other one, I think he quit school at age 11 and started working, both of which were very faithful brethren, very strong brethren. I do not make very much money, but I have student loans I pay for. I have a house that I pay for. I have everything in this life that everyone else in this room has. If you live within your means, whatever that is, you can be content. You can have this godliness with contentment, but it all depends on your attitude. What comes first? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thank you.